I have to bring you up to speed on what happened with AI after I recorded this episode with my next guest. Welcome back to the Conscious Creativity in the Age of AI series on Unjaded. This is our July, our summer series, where we are walking through interviews with 12 or 13 entrepreneurs who are sharing how they're using AI, maybe their skepticism or their concerns around it that they've worked through or are still in the process of working through. So on the heels of recording this episode, I came in to record the intro for you. And I was working with ChatGPT, which is where I normally create my show notes, and it was getting all of the things wrong. It was coming up with things that we didn't even talk about in the interview. I had put the transcript through, yet it was coming up with calling Sam a copywriter. She's actually a dating and relationship coach. It was pulling things that we didn't even talk about in the episode based on human design. It was really awful. I went through three versions of the show notes and finally I said, look, you're getting a lot of things wrong today. What do you need from me in order to make this better? Now, I haven't checked it yet because in true many gen fashion, I got frustrated and walked away, which is like, I'll do it myself. I think I wasted more time with AI on those show notes than it would have taken me to create them in the first place. So this episode is, like I said, an interview with Sam Morris. She is an empowered dating and healthy relationship coach who's been in that field for about 10 years. She runs a successful wedding business, and she has a background as a lawyer in criminal justice. So yes, if you think Sam might be a manifesting generator, you're probably thinking the way that I'm thinking. Sam walks us through how she's using AI to do research. She shares with us a couple of different AI tools that you can use to grab cited studies if research is something that's important to you in your niche. And she's sharing with us one of the biggest faux pas that I have ever heard of with AI. It's one of those stories where if it happened to you in your launch, you would want to quit everything and go live on an island somewhere. Of course, Sam's rolling with it because what other choice do we have in the online space? But we're unpacking some really juicy tidbits in this episode on conscious creation in the age of AI. Welcome, Sam, to Unjaded. I'm super excited for our conversation today about AI.
Hello.
And you're joining us from?
I am in the UK. So I live in a place called Leicester, which is like literally in the middle. You can't get any more center of the UK.
It's always interesting to me. I was thinking this morning, I was speaking with four different entrepreneurs this morning from four different countries in the world.
Wow.
We have such an amazing ability to connect since, well, I think more since 2020 than any other time. It's really fascinating. And Sam and I, just for our listeners, we met in our mastermind. Yeah. We were in, I guess it was December when we were in Phoenix and we connected there. So we won't talk about how we connected and my faux pas, but okay. So let's dive into AI. You are a healthy relationship coach. You work with people in the dating sphere and you are using AI in your business. How?
In a lot of ways.
Tell me all of the ways.
So, I will use AI to double check some of the things that I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of AI. I know everyone talks about ChatGPT, but there are some other AI that you can use that will check research for you to kind of check that it's legitimate. And so my background is actually in criminal justice.
Ooh,
and so I used to teach people who had committed domestic violence offences how to not do that again and how to not be controlling and how to not be coercive. So there's a lot of research. Everything that I do is all, it is based on research. It's not based on, oh, this is just what I think you should do. Mm-hmm. But I like to be able to actually be able to back it up. You know, if anyone ever says to me, well, where have you plucked that from? So there's two tools, which is Storm, which is owned by Stanford University, and Perplexity. And you can kind of go in there and ask them, what are the studies that back up whatever you're asking? So if I was saying, you know, you are more likely, if you've got a dysregulated nervous system, you're more likely to attract the same kind of people. Go into there and ask it, what are the specific studies? And then obviously you do still need to do a bit of reading to double check that the studies link with what you are saying. But it is genius because it saves hours and hours of stuff. I've got textbooks on my bookshelf downstairs that I don't need to open up anymore.
Yeah, may never open them again.
To the back. Yeah. So, yeah. I use it for like kind of general tasks as well. So I took on a new VA and she is completely new, has never done any sort of virtual assistant before. So I asked chat, you know, what would be the first steps? Because although I feel like I probably should know that off the top of my head, it's been a long time since I started my business. And I originally, many, many years ago, when I first started working, I was an admin assistant. But that, we're talking 15 years ago. Technology's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And the way of working changes a lot. And I didn't feel that I was equipped to fully know what I should be saying. And chat gave me step by step, really clear instructions. And it was on the first try. Because sometimes you can ask it and you're like, that's not quite what I'm asking you for.
Yes. Yeah, it can be frustrating sometimes. I've had that where I'm pouring stuff into chat and trying to get something out. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like I've been talking to three different people throughout this conversation. You're not getting what I'm saying. And I had chat say to me, you're switching tasks too often. So I just want to bring listeners up to speed here. Sam doesn't know her human design. But if you are human design informed, you may be hearing the clues in her voice here. I'm very much suspecting a one line. So if you're a one line in human design, this research tip that Sam gave us is incredible for you because it's going to save you hours and hours and hours of time. Not that the rest of us don't need to do research, but you said perplexity and storm. That's a really good tip. And then I'm laughing inside my head as you're saying it's saving me steps. I'm like, oh, is she a manifesting generator? Maybe she is a manifesting generator because we're all about saving the steps. And I know for me, it's really hard for me to see, like I go from zero to done very, very quickly. So for someone else to pick up and try to, that's always been an issue in my business. Even when I had my retail store, I had to have somebody else train people because I just didn't have that process in my brain for the step-to-step thing. I'm just not built that way. So ChatGPT can be, or any kind of AI, can be a really good way to flush that out for people. And I know that in our mastermind, one of the things that James Wedmore says is define done. So that's been a really important piece for me with my VA as well, is what does that done actually look like? So anyway, that was just a sidebar for our listeners to kind of bring them along on the human design piece, just kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. The reason, obviously, you said about the manifesto generator is because someone else told me that I haven't gone as deep into it as I need to. But I think that they picked up on that because I run two businesses and I'm always kind of doing lots of different things all at the same time.
Yeah.
And yeah, which what I have read does kind of make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, the trouble is that a lot of people are conditioned to be manifesting generators. So there's a lot of people who are other types who are running around doing all kinds of things that, yeah, so we never know unless we have the actual information. Okay, so back to AI. You're using it for research. You're using it to train, not train your VA, but to like get the step-by-steps that she needs for her processes. What else? Yeah.
So I've used it in my everyday life. I had a bit of an issue with my child's school and I typed out a letter, typed out an email, not a letter. And I reread it and I thought, I sound a bit angry in this letter. So I copied and pasted it into ChatGPT and I was like, does this sound passive aggressive? And chat was like, yes. And then basically rewrote it in a more friendly, productive way. I don't tend to use it for emails to my clients just because I like to be quite personable with that. And sometimes, although I've trained it with my voice and I've copied in lots of documents that I've written myself, I do still find that it comes out a little bit robotic. The other thing that I have done is I've created a, I'm calling it the Sambot at the moment because I can't think of a better name yet, essentially. But what it is I have fed all of my research and what I know about unhealthy relationships into this robot to create a red flag generator. And so what it is my clients can go on and they can put in a behavior. So say they've been on a date and something the date did, they were kind of like, I'm not sure about that. They put that behavior into the Sambot. And it will say to them, yes, it is a red flag. No, it isn't a red flag. It might be. And then tips on like next steps of what they can do to try and figure this out. And I created that because a lot of my clients are coming to me and they're going, I just don't pick up on these red flags. I meet someone new and go all in. And then I kind of get in too far and then I'm in love. And I don't know how to get out. And then it's too late and I end up getting hurt again. And I kept thinking to myself, surely there must be something. And some of my clients, I will be on one-to-ones where they're going on first dates and they'll come and they'll chat to me. And they'll be like, this happened. And we kind of go over it. And I thought it'd be great if we actually had a tool that people could, instead of having to jump onto a one-to-one with me, to ask one question that they could just type into this AI bot that has been fed everything I know.
And that's interesting because for so many people, for so many entrepreneurs, one of the fears is that AI is going to take over your business or people are going to go to ChatGPT or any AI instead of hiring you. But I love that you're using it to complement your services that you already have. So this would be a custom GPT that you built that you have that they have access to when they're inside some sort of a container with you, not just willy-nilly.
Yeah, because it does cost me. It charges me to use it.
Right. And how are you doing that? What system are you using to build these GPTs?
That's through MindPal.
Yes. Okay. That's the one that I keep hearing about. Yeah. MindPal. Yeah. A lot of entrepreneurs are starting to add GPTs. I know I'll be adding it for my next round of content by design. I'll be adding GPTs in. And it's just that extra layer of support while people are going through. And there's a gazillion ways that we can build these things to really service our clients. So I love that.
Yeah. I think that we can only do so much ourselves. And it would be lovely if I could get on a one-to-one call with all of my clients every day. But I don't have the capacity. I'm only one person. And we all have these different systems. You know, we all have VAs and we have automated templates and things like that. But we are still only one version of ourselves. So if you can try and, you know, take from your mind a little bit of yourself and put it into a chatbot where someone can go and just get a little bit of information without having to come to you is super helpful. And it helps them.
For sure. Yeah. And it would be a big piece of scaling your business because you just cannot do all of the things, like you said, one-to-one.
Yeah.
You talked about feeding ChatGPT or AI, your brand, your voice, some of the content that you have created. What does that look like?
So I used to actually type out the transcripts to my podcast.
Oh, geez, Louise.
This is when I was skeptical about using AI.
Right.
So I used to, I would talk because I don't script my podcast. So I would talk and then afterwards I would re-listen after I'd done the editing and type it all out.
Wow.
It's a lot of work. So I basically, anything that I have ever written myself, I uploaded it into chat. And so it got my tone of voice, because I don't know whether it does it now, but it didn't used to listen to audio.
I'm still having trouble with that. I know a lot of people say that they use it for verbal processing, but I can't get it to work usually.
Yeah, and I can't either.
Okay.
So that was kind of the next best thing. I did also input some of the information from kind of textbooks that I've learned from, because, as I said before, a lot of the stuff that I do is research based. So I thought it would be useful for it to know kind of, she's talking about this, but this is where it comes from.
Yeah. So is that in your custom GPT or in your general or both?
Both.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you find you're getting better outputs now?
Absolutely. And I still don't think that it is there for kind of, if you wanted to do a sales page, I don't, it doesn't give you as much as, you know, some people would like, in terms of kind of asking it, which I will ask on a Monday, can you give me some revenue generating activities for this week?
Ooh, okay.
And it will come out with, you know, right, send this one email for high ticket. And if you add kind of how much you want to make, you can do it on a monthly basis. So, you know, this month I want to make $10,000, pounds, whichever currency you're in, based on what you know about my business already, what would you suggest for me to do? And it will give you a long list of different ways and break it down into, right, this is your low ticket offer that you've already got. You've got to sell this many, and this is how you could do it, maybe through Instagram. And it's really, because then you get to pick one and you're like, oh, that one's the one that works best for me. Because I think that's the most important. It can come up with ideas, but you have to do what's best for you. And some of the ideas that it's come out with, well, you could create a £50,000 package and sell it to one person. And for me, I don't feel comfortable selling a £50,000 package. And, you know, maybe that's because I just haven't, I don't know, ascended enough yet. But at the moment, I don't think that I would be able to sell it because I'm not comfortable in it. And we obviously give off that vibe of what we're comfortable in doing. So you just take it as a guide, not as a absolute, I must do this.
So have you put your offer, your existing offers, have you put them through ChatGPT so it understands, okay, your offer suite?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can use it to, you know, like, what do you think would be added value to this? So I put in one of my offers and I said, it's like my group program. And I said, what do you think I could add to this to make it better based on the target kind of audience, what other people are doing? And not to copy other people, but just to see like what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then it will come out with, well, you could add this bonus in. And some of it, again, it's, that wouldn't work for me, that wouldn't work for my clients. And you do need to kind of know your clients, your customer avatar that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
You do need to know that part. Or if you're in the early stages of your business, you could test some of these things and see, oh, this works, this doesn't work. My Sambot, the reason that I created that was because of feedback from my clients. Because I don't think that I'd have plucked that out of thin air thinking, oh yeah, everyone needs a bot to tell you about red flags.
And I don't think there's any, I know that there's no substitute for being in the arena with your clients. Right before this call, I was on Instagram and I saw so many ads for AI. I think my phone is listening to me, but anyway, so many ads. And one of the ads was like, create your first digital product in the next 3 days and scale to 100K. And it was like all of this BS. And I'm looking at it going, we'll tell you who your ideal client is. We'll tell you what your message is. We'll like, it was all, and I was a little bit horrified for the people who will buy into that, because I'm sure there's a cost to it. It may not be astronomical, but the cost of time wasted in your business as well. There's no substitute for you actually being in the arena with your clients, hearing their feedback, working with them, honing things as you go along. In the human design space, we say business is third line. And that is very much that you got to bump around in your business. You got to let your clients bump around with you. And then you come out with this like juicy soup of like, oh my gosh, this is actually the thing. And then use AI for these things.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is with kind of that offer, it could tell you about your ideal client, but you might not even like working with those people.
Exactly.
So, because I know, you know, when I first started, some of the people that kind of jumped on one-to-one calls before they joined anything, there was a few people that I was like, you are not for me.
Yeah.
AI won't know that because it isn't a human. Only you can know that. So you could start working with someone that AI has told you is your ideal person, and you realize after the first session, I've got to spend another 10 sessions with this person and I really dislike them.
Yeah. Or we're not a fit. And that's like your ideal client is always changing and evolving because you're always changing and evolving. So the more you get in it, the more you can tweak as you go along. And I think so many people come into the online space thinking, this is who I serve. She's a 40-year-old with 2.5 kids. She drives a Subaru. She lives in the suburbs, you know, blah, 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 blah. Makes 50K a year, whatever. And it's not going to be that person even 6 months from now, because you're going to get in the room with that person and you're going to solve, 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 solve. And then boom, it's going to be that person has evolved. Yeah. So anyway, that's maybe a topic for another day, but it's really important when we can only outsource so much to AI or anywhere else, really. Okay. So concerns, skepticism, let's talk about that. Tell me all of the crazy things that you thought about AI.
So when it first came out, I was very much, this is going to take over the world. And I do still think that that is a very real.
Same. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen, I've seen videos of people that have asked ChatGPT, like, if you wanted to take over the world, what would you do? And it goes into detail of, let us all become reliant on it. And so it is a very real concern. And for me, I didn't want to lose part of myself. It is very easy now to go on there, and I'm sure someone could go on there and create a complete program. It might not even be anywhere near their expertise.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And that was my concern, that I didn't want to use it and people think this is has been created by AI, because my knowledge and, you know, I went and trained for a really long time to learn this stuff. It isn't something that a computer, well, obviously it can give you the research, but actually working face to face with humans.
Yes.
Is very different to what a computer can say. So I was really worried about, you know, oh, if I use it to write one line on my sales page, that people are going to think that I'm a whole robot. I realize people don't think that. And I do also think that a lot of people that aren't in the business world actually aren't using AI as much as we think they are, just because I know a lot of people that don't work in businesses, and they are kind of like, oh yeah, it's a bit like Google, isn't it?
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's not. But you have kind of like two types of people, because I have some clients that are completely oblivious to AI. And then I've got other ones that are using it to write their dating profiles.
Oh, fun.
and write their responses, though. And I think that is the key kind of issue. If they're on a dating app and they're asking any sort of AI, like, how do I respond to this person?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to have a genuine human connection if a robot has told you what to say.
Yeah, that's kind of icky.
Yeah. I think there are obviously concerns about the environment. I don't know the full stats on it, but I know that it uses a lot of energy every single time. And so when I actually read about, I read this whole article, I then started to really be meaningful about what I was using it for and making sure that I didn't have to do as many edits of, no, that's not quite right. And being really, really clear. So typing out paragraphs of, this is what I want you to come up with, rather than kind of a single line, which is what I used to do. And I think there was a concern that it would start to kind of, not me personally, but take over jobs.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
I have family members that my mom is a audio typist. And actually, you know, and I have said to her, because she works for the hospital, and I have said to her, you know, AI can do what you do now. She's close to retirement, so it's not that big of a deal for her. But obviously people that are younger than her, it's going to take jobs away. But then I did read the other day that McDonald's had replaced a lot of their workers with an AI bot and to take orders, and it kind of went crazy and started adding bacon to ice cream. So they've actually now re-employed people because the bots didn't work.
Well, and it does go crazy sometimes. Like, I know even when I'm using it for my business, sometimes it just goes insane. And I'm like, well, I asked it for testimonials. I said, go to this page on my website and call the testimonials. And then I put a Google Doc in of testimonials that is organized and ask it to find what people had said. And then, oh, and I put a Zoom, our last Zoom call transcript through. And it pulled out things that I have no idea where they came from, with names that I have no idea who those people are. And I'm like, this is some scary shit, because some entrepreneur is going to take that first version of AI and go, oh, great, here's some testimonials that I didn't even know I had, and put them through, which is crazy. And the medical piece scares me. When you say, well, AI can do that job, I'm like, isn't that interesting? I mean, and I also think this has existed for a long time. We are just been, we've just been made aware of it and been able to use it for our purposes now. But I think there's been, there, we know there's been AI for long time, long, yeah, lot more than whenever it came out to us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so with my last launch, I asked Chat to create me a timer, a sticky timer to go at the top of my page, just because I couldn't be bothered to do the coding myself.
Yeah.
And do you know what happened? Do you?
No. Oh, no, okay. I didn't know.
I talked about it in one of the calls.
Oh, no.
So it added a redirect into that timer to redirect everyone that landed on that page to a page that promoted escorts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that launch didn't go that well.
No. Oh. And I'm laughing, but that's heartbreaking, because as entrepreneurs, we know that launching is like the craziest thing that we can do in our businesses. And to have that happen when you put all the work in and probably money in ads and all those things, like, holy cow.
Yeah. And I think, so there was a learning kind of curve from that, in that when I do a launch, when I open the doors, I don't look at anything. So my emails, I've automated them. I will go live, but other than that, I don't want to watch like open rates and click rates, because it messes with me a little bit and it messes with my energy. So if I'm then trying to go live and I'm looking at an open rate and it's like, oh, 11%, I've noticed before that it does mess around with the way that I kind of come across. So, but with this, had I have actually checked, then I would have picked up on it. So I don't know how long that had been on there. I had assumed from like the beginning, from when I added it, but I did make sales.
So I the escort service did too.
Yeah, that's what one of my business friends said. She made a, you know, you. I wonder if you can get commission. But yeah, so that is a very real concern too. If you are doing something like that, make sure that there are no redirects in there. If you're getting it to code anything, even if you're not a coder, it is in normal human language. So read through it, even though it's, you know, it is a little bit boring to have to read this long code. But I had it create me a calculator based on like people's experiences of their past relationships, and they would put in different things of, you know, this happened to me, I've been in so many relationships that have been toxic, and whether it's a pattern, and then it gives them a, like a percentage score of where they're at, going through the code of that calculator to make sure there was no redirects or anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Was quite time consuming, but the actual creation of the code wasn't. So it's, you know, you have to do a bit of both and just make sure that if you're using it, to check it for everything.
That's a neat use of it though, to create some sort of a, like a quiz or a survey type thing where your people can get. So then how did they get the feedback? Where did the feedback come in?
So as part of the calculator, they obviously click the button and it calculates it, and it's calculated based on research. So I'd actually fed it quite a few different studies. And so one of them calculates the percentage likelihood of them being able to find a healthy relationship sitting where they're at right now if they don't do any work. But it generates another page. So they click the button as part of the calculator, and then it just takes them to the results page. And then it's got a few little tips, but then I have to kind of manually go in, and then I'll send an email or I'll send a video of this is what came up with the calculator. This is what I think would help. So it,
so
does
it becomes like the first step. Sorry.
Yeah.
It becomes like the first step in a funnel.
Yeah.
Basically, which is really interesting, because so many times those things boggle our minds. How can I get this, like a quiz or something like that? Seems like, oh my God, our calculator, how the heck am I going to figure all this out? But using ChatGPT of some sort for that is a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And in all honesty, it wasn't actually that difficult. Yeah. I just typed in, can you create me a calculator based on this research? I uploaded a few documents. I want it to calculate this likelihood. And then it was the back and forth of the tweaking. So some of the questions, it didn't ask it in the right way. So then I was kind of going back and forth with that. But other than that, I would say it took me maybe half a day to create.
Yeah.
And I have zero coding skills. And so then I got my VA because I couldn't get it to add a email address and name thing, you know, to be able to capture those details. I tried and I tried, and it was just saying no. So I got my VA to create a separate landing page to collect details, which would then, as soon as they'd put in their details, it would then redirect them into this calculator.
Very cool. Very cool. I love it. So you've mentioned a couple of times refining it, refining what it's telling you. And then you said that you're trying to be a little bit more careful But I think that this is something when people are, when new entrepreneurs are, or entrepreneurs are coming into this world of AI, they expect it to do a lot more heavy lifting than it's capable of, especially with their content. So they put something through and think it's terrible and never use it again, or they put something through and use it as it is, which is equally as bad. You're grimacing. So yeah. How much of a process is this with you going back and forth with AI mindfully?
I think I never used to use it for, you know, like captions for Instagram or descriptions for YouTube, because the stuff that came out was just terrible. Mm-hmm. But then when I started feeding it things that I had wrote, it just naturally got better. Mm-hmm. So I will use it now for, if I'm doing a Instagram post, I will say, I'll tell it what the post is about, because I think that's a big mistake that people make. They're like, oh, create me an Instagram caption, mm-hmm. and then don't really give it any details about anything. And you have to think of it like a human. Mm-hmm. If this was a human, you wouldn't be saying, just create me an Instagram caption.
Right.
Unless they've been in your team for a really long time, mm-hmm. and you sent them the video.
Yes.
But most people, you wouldn't do that. But what I've started to do is, so I only use like one kind of prompt, I will say, can you create me an Instagram caption and a YouTube description for the same video, mm-hmm. and get it to just do it all in one go?
Yeah.
Because if you kind of, you can do it obviously separately, but it does use more energy each time. And sometimes if you do that, it can come up with random different answers as well, mm-hmm. even though you've asked it to be about the same post.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we really, I mean, I keep hearing this over and over on these interviews. We have to know our stuff. We have to know our stuff. That has to be the starting point. And then we go into using AI to save us some time.
Yeah.
But it's not the end all to be all yet.
No.
Until it takes over the world.
Yeah. But I don't copy and paste. It's very rare. Unless it's like a quote. You know, mm-hmm. I'll ask it, can you find some quotes about this? Most of the time, whatever it comes out with, I will type out myself. And that's probably more time consuming than a lot of people want to be. Mm-hmm. But if you type it out yourself, you don't miss
yes.
the little things that it may put in. Because I know for me, obviously I'm in the UK, we spell things differently to in the US.
Yeah.
And Chat is a US-based company, or it writes that way anyway. And although I've asked it to do it in the English spelling, and it does sometimes, you still kind of need to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're using it, just type out what it said. Don't copy and paste what it said. Mm-hmm. Unless it's, you know, give me some hashtags.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we don't have to be quite as lazy as this whole AI situation leads us to be or tempts us to be. I think that we still need to keep this series is conscious creativity with AI. And I think that outsourcing our creativity is one of the worst things that we can do. So how can we use AI to maybe supplement, to maybe, you know, different human design types use it differently, but we don't want to outsource our power to anything, not let alone. Yeah. Anyway, enough said.
But so I know someone else that he has a video bot of him.
Oh, wow.
And so all of his content on social media is actually this bot. It's not him.
Yikes.
But what he has done is whatever the bot says, he inputs that. Mm. So it just means that he doesn't have to record millions of videos all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a paid service. I haven't properly looked into it because I don't know how comfortable I feel. Yeah. About that, because I do see a lot of videos that it is clearly an AI talking, and I don't want people to think of me as a robot. Similar to, you know, when I was first skeptical about using it at all, you know, when it gets a little bit better, you might, in 5 years, I might be saying, oh yeah, all of my videos are sandbox. But I don't know, I can't see it happening, because I still feel any person that's doing an online business or any sort of actually face-to-face business, you are the face. If you want to be selling stuff personally, people need to know who you are and not be kind of like, is that a robot? Is it not a robot? Because that creates mistrust.
Yeah.
And there is still a lot of mistrust around AI. And I just don't think that, me personally, I would want that, just any sort of indicator that, oh, she's not real.
I think there's a lot of mistrust in the online space regardless, even before AI came into the picture. You know, 2020 saw a whole slew of new people in business. And now I think we've kind of gotten to the point where people have been burned a lot of times on people just creating random stuff that didn't really work. They didn't have any track record. But authenticity, I think, is going to be harder to spot and more important to keep. And maybe we will look back on this interview and we will both think we were idiots at the time. But we're using our voices to add to this important conversation. And yeah, I a part of me wonders, you know, I remember when my kids were around 10 or 12, the internet came into form. We got our first personal computer, all of that stuff. And I know that ages me, but that's, I look back on those days and I think, oh my God, we were so worried, and we were, you know, putting time limits on and watching what they were doing, which is important. And there's been so many things come along since then. I mean, email, and I mean, all of online banking, we all thought it was ridiculous at the time. So part of me is like, okay, is this going to be the same with AI? Or is this completely, I mean, this is a huge disruption, probably the biggest disruption of our time.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to navigate it.
And I think there are some, I don't know, well, it is a danger, or whether it just puts the whole education system kind of under fire. But I know someone who used ChatGPT to create his dissertation for university, and he got a 2-1. And he was like, AI was my whole degree. And I know that universities are putting things in place to kind of prevent this from happening, but ultimately they can't. So I've seen some videos on Instagram of people saying, well, you know, I was of the generation where you got a degree by actually learning stuff. And that is kind of part of the issue, in that you could end up having people that are in jobs where they need to be qualified, like a doctor. I originally did a law degree. Obviously, there was no AI around back then. You need to know the law, but you also need to know how to actually make decisions yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Critical thinking.
If you've used a robot, you can't make those decisions. So that part scares me a little bit, because, you know, I don't really want a doctor operating on me that hasn't actually learned the stuff that they need to know. Any more than I would want to work with a coach. Obviously, we both have the same coach. He talks authentically him all the time. Would I have been interested if it wasn't from his own experience, not what a computer said? And that part is the bit that I think people need to really hone in on, that yes, any of the AI bots are there to assist, but you are yourself, and your life experiences are not discredited by bots.
Discernment. when we're using it, when we're buying, when we're watching content or reading content online. I think this is calling us now more than ever to keep our critical thinking power, because that's one of my biggest concerns, is this dumbing down.
Yeah.
It is incredible to see this collective speak or this collective thinking that I think is a danger to all of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, discernment when we're using it and when we are consuming content now. It's a whole different ball game.
It is.
Yeah.
And well, you probably see it in your space, where you may see other coaches that are clearly using a lot of AI. Because I see it in my space.
Yeah.
Where you have people that are selling like a dating hack cheat sheet,
yeah,
selling it for $10, and someone could have gone on to chat and created that themselves.
Yeah. Well, and I think they are, for sure they are. Yeah. Anyway, yes, definitely. It's the ultimate calling it in. You're not giving anything of yourself to your people. And I have a real problem with that as an entrepreneur who teaches other entrepreneurs about your voice, about the conditioning on your voice and freeing your voice and creating content, all of those things. And then I see, yes, you're right, in the human design space, in every space, but in the human design space, it's post after post after post of just endless information that doesn't show people any way to integrate it into their life. It's just filling up the ethers. We do not need more information.
No.
Yeah.
And we just need genuine connection.
Yeah. And I think that's going to remain and become even more important as we go through these times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for connecting with me here, Sam. I appreciate you being here. Where can people find you?
So I am at thesammorris.com and on Instagram, the Sam Morris C.
Okay.
Because,
easy to remember.
Yeah, I had to put the C on because the Sam Morris was taken
Aww.
By someone that isn't actually called Sam Morris, but you know. so yeah, I'm there.
Okay, well, we will link those up in the show notes for you so that you can go and get into Sam's world and maybe take one of her quizzes, or what did you call it? Calculator,
yeah.
Or something like that.
Exactly.